Welcome back to Swan and Judd Review. I'm Tom Swanner.
And this is a very sad and sorrowful Brian Judd. I've got a correction to make. Last week, I closed out the podcast with saying that Margaret Whiting wrote Gone with the Wind, and that is not correct. Margaret Thatcher wrote Gone with the Wind, and I'd like to apologize for that. Margaret Whiting, because I'm a big old fag, just to let you know, Margaret Whiting dubbed the voice for Susan Hayward as Helen Lawson in Valley of the Dolls. So when you hear Susan Hayward sing I'll Plant My Own Tree, which is a fantastic song, so campy, it is actually Margaret Whiting. So I just wanted to get that out there that, you know, I made a mistake and I want to correct that.
And who wrote Gone with the Wind?
Margaret Thatcher.
Okay. Good. All right. And also I wanted to say happy Father's Day since we are recording on Father's Day. What are you doing for yourself for Father's Day since you have no children?
I've got a birthday party that's coming up, not for myself, for a friend of mine, that me and my cohort are going shopping for tchotchkes and decorations and shit like that.
Oh, that's sweet.
But I've already called my father and talked to him for about 30 minutes.
Well, that's nice. That's nice. Mm-hmm. I did not.
Call your wow.
Since he's deceased.
So. Well, as my mom says, because since, you know, as with you, both of her parents are gone. So she says, well, she's an orphan now. So she has got no one to call.
Now, please, sir, can I have more? Yeah. So anyway, moving on, let's see, this week on RuPaul's Drag Race, they had special guest star and judge Ruta Lee. Now, do you remember Ruta Lee from the 60s and 70s and 80s? Mm-hmm. She was, I mean, she, you know, she did all the game shows, of course, but she was on Love Boat and she was on Columbo, and she, I mean, she just did everything. And she was, you know, the judge here, and she looked fantastic, and she's 91 years old. And it looked, I mean, she looked like she was in her 60s. It was great. Wow. Which means she had a really good wig, and she pulled it back tight.
Sure.
And you could tell it was wig, because she was like, one of the queens came out, and she goes, I want that wig, right? I'm going to wear that wig. And it kind of looked like her style of wig. It was very funny. This week they did a roast. So they were basically roasting each other. They've got 3 minutes to be funny. So, and actually they all were pretty darn funny. Usually the fun part of this is you get somebody that bombs badly, and we didn't really have any of that. So, but then this is all stars, and you know, they shouldn't bomb as all stars. Cause I mean, the way I look at it is all these queens have spent, many a night hosting a drag show. And you've got to be on your toes. You've got to have barbs against the other girls and against, you know, people in the audience. It's just, it's like a really good hairdresser. You know, you sit there and you laugh the whole time.
Sure.
The old traditional hairdresser.
That's right. And the fact that these are all stars, you know, I mean, we know these characters, we know who they are. So, I mean, the material is just going to be better. Than someone you may have only known for a couple of weeks.
Right. Well, and that's too. And it's just, and they all, you know, they know each other, you know, from working, you know, across, well, either on the show, they're all kind of, it's all a sisterhood, just like on The Bachelor. It's the Bachelor family where the Bachelor and the Bachelorettes, they actually have parties together where just them come together. Sure. Of course, I'd rather go to the drag queen party. But yeah. So speaking of that, Trixie Mattel is on season two of her show. Last year, she opened up a motel in a very stylish motel in Palm Springs. And this year, her and her partner, David, are buying a house in Hollywood. It's like $2 million house. Gulp. And then they're redoing
it. And that's probably just a shack.
No, it's actually a really nice place.
Is it? Okay.
In the Hollywood Hills. Yeah. It's. I don't like the positioning. It's like right next to an apartment complex, but somewhat, yeah, somewhat secluded the way it is, but still. But it's a very funny show that's on Max. Let's see. Top Chef this week, we started with four. We're now down to the top three. And the next week, the top three will do the finale, unless they're going to do a 2-week finale thing. Usually it's one. So that'll be next week. So that's going to be ending on me. But, you know, the good news is we've got Big Brother right around the corner. I can't wait. Let's see. Bridgerton, the new episodes dropped because they brought out season three and there were four episodes. And then they made us wait like, God, I don't know, it was like 2 or 3 weeks to see the last four. So, but they dropped and bitches were online sharing all the exciting things that happened in the four episodes that were dropped because they all swallowed it and then they decided to spew it out on social media. It was ridiculous. Of course. But it's just, yeah, I mean, say, oh, I really loved it. You don't have to give thoughts on individual storylines, but it was good. It was really good. I didn't cry though. Aww. I cried more. I actually cried in the first four episodes, episode four actually. And I don't think I cried here. But it was good. This was by far the best season of Bridgerton and the writing and it was all really good this season. It was, you know, just really good. So
take your word for it.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Evil, you know, is back on Paramount Plus, and Andrea Martin plays this nun that works with the group every once in a while on cases, but she actually is in the same lives in the same church. How do they do that? They've got the priests and the nuns. They live in the same area. I mean, is it like a
monastery
kind of thing? Yeah. So, yeah. So she lives in the same place that David, the priest character is, but she is so devout that she can see the demons when they're in the room where no one else can see them. So she looks like she's insane, killing these demons with like a shovel, or she just killed a demon who makes you lose your words, and then everyone around
you might be.
Oh, I know he could be standing right behind me, but it's a demon makes you lose your words, and then what happens is if you're around that person, it'll take from you too. So it's just a constant. This demon's constantly getting fatter and fatter with all the stuff. And at the end of the episode, Andrea Martin's chasing after him with hedge clippers. Nice. And he's running from her, but he's so fat with words that he can't get through the door. So she just plunges it in his belly and he bursts and everyone's going, why do I feel like I can talk again? I don't know. And she's covered in goo, but nobody can see it. It's Andrea Martin. So it's classically funny. I just saw a thing where it was Andrea Martin and Catherine O'Hara were playing. It was for the Tonys. And it was Andrea Martin played Liza Minnelli. And she was excellent. I forgot. Just, you know, you forget as how good SCTV was,
sure.
But how good she was on SCTV. I mean, and her Minnelli not only looked good, but she sounded really good too. So
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Cause I know she did the Connie Franklin, spoof on Connie Francis where all her songs, she'd break down and start crying because it was a Connie Francis is kind of known for these big weepy,
yeah,
bad numbers.
Well, and I always loved her. It was Edna and Tex. They own the organ,
I think I have seen
Emporium. Oregon Emporium. That was it was, and I want to say it's because she had Edith Prickly, but this was a different character. But yeah, I mean, Andrea Martin, she's just fantastic. So, and she gives so much humor and depth to evil. You know, gets it. She takes the really weird, creepy stuff, and she makes it kind of easier to digest. So sure. Good for her. Let's see. Still watching Chow House. And it's not a very good show.
Chow House.
It's a, this is where they took the Americans. They take them to Italy and make them cook Italian food for prize money.
Chow.
Yeah. Chow House. Yeah. But it's also Chow House.
Sure.
You know? So, and it's perfectly fine. I mean, it's actually very forgettable, but the Alex Vercelli is one of the hosts, but the guy is this Italian chef, and he's just big and Italian, you know. He's really good looking. Okay,
like Italian, Italy Italian, or American Italian?
He's Italy Italian.
Okay,
yeah, and I just, yeah, I keep thinking one day he's going to want to cook with his shirt off, right? Not yet, but we're hoping.
Sure.
Yeah. Also, still watching that thing on Disney about the twins and the Star Wars thing. And it's A-C-L-O-T.
Oh, the Acolyte.
Acolyte. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay. This week I've been spending a lot of time with Arnie Tex. And him, yeah, he made street tacos this week, and he showed how to what kinds of meats to
the chef on YouTube,
the Mexican guy, yeah. So he showed the kind of meats you do and how to chop them up, because you know, you with the street, they chop up everything to give for the meat,
sure.
So because they're little small things, but he was showing how to do it, and it was really kind of cool. I finished the first season of World Eats Bread with the third episode. I mean, three episodes? Come on. That's you might as well have just thrown them all together and made it a movie.
How long were the episodes?
About 40 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. The final one was tortillas. So we were, I want to say it was Guatemala, making tortillas in different ways and different styles and stuff. So it's interesting. I actually kind of found the whole show really fascinating. I love the when they're kneading the dough and then they let it rise and then you come back and it's like two or three times as big. That's a thrill for me. I don't understand why I get so excited about that, but I do.
Rising dough is a, well,
yeah, it makes sense now if you think about it. Yeah, okay. Let's see. Now, don't forget, tonight is the Tony Awards. Uh-huh, it's on CBS.
Yeah, as always. Has it ever not been on CBS?
I don't know. That's a good call. I know that NBC's always had the Golden Globes. Oof. And the Grammys are usually CBS, and ABC is the Oscars, and I don't know about the Emmys. I want to say, I don't know. That's what I'm going to say. But that's tonight. I'm very excited. I've been watching all the predictors, the gold Derby online, who says one thing, and everybody else that is in the, let's say, in New York, because it's a lot of these different people I'm seeing, they're all New Yorkers, and they're saying something completely different. The only thing that they can all agree on is Merrily We Roll Along is going to win pretty much every category it's in.
That's a revival. So, that's a Sondheim revival, right?
Right. The first time it came out in the early 80s, it ran like 2 weeks and it was out.
Sure.
They hated it. But they got it together now. So, kind of exciting. Well, it's very exciting for me. Still watching the summer baking contest, and having a really good time. The people are a lot. I think it was last, it was like the fall baking or the Halloween baking. I don't know. It was one of those. They just had terrible people, and you know, it was like, oh, I don't even want to watch this. They've been casting better. The last few have been really good as far as casting. I watched something called, this was just all really interesting. I started watching foods on YouTube, different things.
Sure.
And one that caught my eye was a sausage and biscuits gravy casserole. And what they did was they they chopped up, you know how you do monkey bread with the biscuits where you cut them into pieces. So they took a thing of eight, cut them up, sprinkled them around. Then he put in sausage, bacon, saved some of the sausage for the gravy, and then did an egg mixture with cheese and then put the gravy over the top of that. Don't you think that seems a little bit much?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking up. So who did that?
It was Smoking and Grilling with AB.
Oh, okay. I've seen a couple of his of his videos. What did Binging with Babish did one? I'm looking for it. But it was because I do want to try it, and it sounds just so fat. Fat. Let me find out. I'm looking for the recipe now. But so he cut up the biscuits,
right?
And then what happened?
It was bacon, it was sausage, then poured the egg mixture over the top of that, then added the cheese. And so then
did the eggs hold it together?
I think the cheese kind of kept.
I wouldn't want eggs in there.
Oh, see, well, the egg's fine. That's kind of that's a frittata, basically. But then.
Right. And that's, I don't want that in my.
See, I would. I just don't know if when the gravy comes on, if it's baked with the gravy, I don't remember that. Or if the gravy comes on after you baked it and you just cover it with, you know, that part. I got a feeling, though, it was baked on. So maybe I'll have to go back. Anyway, I also saw two other ones. These were with different, not with AB, grilling with AB. This was some people making, it was shotgun shells, which are, you take the, is it manicotti that has the little tube?
I think so.
Yeah. And you shove that full of, he used, hamburger and sausage, shove that into the center of that, and then he wrapped it in bacon and then baked them. And what happens is the bacon grease softens the pasta, and then also the grease from the thing. So it just looked kind of gross to me.
That sounds really, really greasy.
I just don't understand why everything has to be wrapped in bacon. I understand bacon tastes good, but it's also just sometimes too much. And and then there was another one, Meat Church Barbecue. What the hell is that? Oh, Meat Church. Meat Church, that's who did them. I'm sorry. Meat Church. It's M-E-A-T Church Barbecue. And he also did another thing, and I didn't write it down. I thought I did. I kept seeing all these weird appetizers, and they're just shoved full with meat, cheese, you know, and usually bacon, more bacon on top of the meat. It was looking good. I mean, some of it looked really good, but it's... Why are we eating this way?
America.
Yeah, I guess, you know, if you can throw more cheese and bacon on something, everyone seems to go for it. Have you seen those tacos now that are, they don't have the cheese inside, you have the cheese outside?
Oh yeah. No, they've been doing that for a while.
Yeah. And it's gross.
Well, you don't like cheese.
Well, so I don't like cheese. And I like, I'm, more pref- I prefer a crunchy taco over a gooey soft taco. I mean, when you start throwing the cheese on the outside of that, it becomes a flat enchilada at that point. It's hard to eat.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't really pick it up. And they're super greasy. Super.
And then don't they have a dip that you're supposed to dip it in as well? Well,
now you're thinking of the birria, which is like a stewed beef. And then that comes with the consomme on the side, and that you then you dip the whole shebang into the juice, so it's like a Mexican French dip. Well, it'd be a Mexican dip,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
But yeah, I've been really obsessed with seeing all this garbage that people are eating, and then I was waiting for Arnie Tex. I see something up there that he's going to be making. It was some kind of casserole, and I'm like trying to turn it on, and I can't figure out what's going. He's so popular that he puts stuff upcoming. So, you know, this will be
sure.
And I'm like, oh my God, and then I noticed he's got like 500,000 followers. And I know that in the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot on YouTube or TikTok, but I mean, that is a lot, but not, you know, astronomical.
Right.
But he's doing street tacos and going, ooh, and he's got, you know, nearly half a million people watching him.
Sure.
At least the episode I was watching, it was like 474,000 views.
Yeah. Babish, he's got 10. I'm looking at his page right now. He's got 10 million subscribers.
Wow.
And he's all right. Sometimes, well, I think he started out doing, he would take food from TV shows, especially like, let's say, The Simpsons or Bob's Burgers. And then he would create those recipes as they would be in real life. And then he's from there moved on to, instead of binging with Babbage, it's now the Babbage Culinary Universe. You know, take on the Marvel thing. But sometimes he's hit and miss with me.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I did find the bacon cheddar biscuit recipe, and it's not nearly as fat as your biscuits and gravy.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised with the biscuits and gravy, because if you're making biscuits and gravy, what are eggs and bacon doing in there as well, and cheese? That none of that should be in eggs and but you know, biscuits and gravy,
right?
It's just like I said, we got some what else you got in the refrigerator, throw it in there. How about a vegetable now and then? How about some broccoli?
Yeah,
exactly. I know, a handful of fries, that'll do.
There you go. There's your vegetable.
Wrap that up. Well, because when I was always surprised whenever I would get I think they're called California burritos, and they come with fries inside instead of I don't know why is there fries in my burrito. I want beans, rice, meat, and cheese, maybe some sour cream.
Sure.
I don't trust the guacamole.
Well, I always figure it's not real guacamole. It's been cut with something, because avocados are so expensive.
Actually, if it was that way, but I go to this one place, and every once in a while, they just have guacamole that you know has been out too long. It's just got that gray, that tang to it, you know.
Sure.
This is either an old avocado or it's been sitting out a while. So, what's going on with your week? Obviously,
not I've had a whole nothing lot. Going on. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Reading, of course. I already did my Margaret Thatcher correction. Last night I watched Keith Robinson, Different Strokes, which is a new stand-up on Netflix. And it was, I think, produced by Amy Schumer. She came out on stage. He dropped his cane, and she came out and picked it up for him. He's a black comedian. He had a stroke. He had two strokes, which... of course, that is the whole basis of the stand-up. First, it was an hour long. The last 15 minutes was the funniest. Well, I mean, not the funniest. That was truly laugh out loud funny. He was talking about when he had a second stroke, which was debilitating. and he got into a fight with, and it was during the height of COVID, and he got into a fight with his nurses, which reminded me of an old friend of mine who has since passed, who it was just, he was such an asshole to his nurses. And I kept telling him, I'm like, they're going to let you sit in your own shit for days if you don't be nicer to these people. Why are you such an asshole? But that's just who he was. So yeah, he got into a fight with his nurses, so they threw him into the COVID ward as solitary confinement. The rest outside of the first 15 minutes, it was a hit or miss. I can't say that I would recommend it. I would recommend those last 15 minutes, though. God, those are funny.
I did not know this about him. I like this guy.
Oh,
He's very funny.
I hadn't heard about him before.
Look, yeah, that's too bad.
And
But the
then,
last 15 minutes are worth it.
yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And then we had a heat wave earlier this week. And so, because I've been reading Gone with the Wind, I needed something, some sort of Southern Gothic to, sweat through my undershirt as I'm watching TV. And I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to watch Cat on a Hot Tin Roof or A Streetcar Named Desire in a streetcar is what won out. And God damn it, Marlon Brando is so fucking hot in that movie. He is just gorgeous. Gorgeous. And not only that, but his performance is just, even by today's standards, is it's absolutely amazing. Just the little details that he puts in, and what he's eating with his mouth open as he's saying his lines, and he's picking at lint that's and dust that's floating through the air as he's talking to Stella about the Napoleonic code and what belongs to her belongs to him. And it's just these things that, if he's acting, of course, it's a movie, of course he's acting, but it's those little things that just make it look like this could be a private conversation between a husband and his wife, and he's just a total disinterested pig worried about what he's being cut out on. And the fact that he's beautiful. God damn it, he is beautiful.
No, I always I actually I didn't like Brando for so long. I just did most of it started because, I mean, I didn't watch any of his earlier stuff in because it really wasn't available when I was a kid. So it was like The Godfather. Oh, The Godfather, everything, all, you know, it's just, and come to find out actually how different, you know, his look was to what he really
Oh.
looked like in The Godfather. So I kept thinking, okay, who's this? How's this Marlon Brando in Streetcar Named Desire? Or, you know, he doesn't even look that way. That's not him. What's going on? I mean, the one time I saw him in person, he looked like Peter Boyle in Young Frankenstein. So, but finally, I did start in his later years. I saw him in some what were supporting roles. And it's like he was riveting. You couldn't take your eyes off him because he was alive in the scene where everybody else couldn't compete with him. It was so weird watching him. And now when I go back and I see things that he was in, it's like he really makes everybody around him try harder and look worse. For the fact,
Yeah.
you know, there nobody can out-act him on screen. And I think it would have been interesting to see him actually on stage. I think that would have been kind of cool to see, you know.
Oh, sure. I mean, because there is the filmed Broadway production of Streetcar with Alec Baldwin, Jessica Lange. I can't remember who played Stella. But I, if the technology had been available at that time to see Brando on stage in Streetcar along with, oh, fuck, the chick that played Stella. Shucks, I'm faded.
She
Planet of the
Vivian
Apes.
Lee. Vivian Lee.
That Vivian Leigh was
Oh, you're talking
Blanche,
you're talking you're right. You're
but
talking
I don't think she played her on stage.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. But I know. I'm looking stuff up right now.
man.
Okay.
But and talk
Okay.
about just a plain looking woman. In Planet of the Apes, she's got the monkey face on, so you can't
Sure.
see her. But her next to this gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous Marlon Brando, and you're like, oh, he married
Kim
her.
Hunter.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And on the Alec Baldwin one, it was Diane Lane.
Oh, okay.
Diane Lane. Yeah, and John Goodman played the Harold character.
Yeah.
It were
I know I've seen it. I just can't remember it. And it's such a long play
Yeah.
that I don't know if I want to sit and watch it again. Although we've got, I'm sure we've got more 100 degree days coming up where you have a mint julep and pretend you're in the South. Turn on the humidifier for that extra stickiness.
Yeah. Constantly spray yourself with a mist just to keep wet,
There you
just to
go.
keep moist. Yeah,
And
so
then,
anything?
yeah, Gone with the Wind. I'm
All
finally
right.
they finally burned down Atlanta. Spoiler alert.
Oh no.
Can you
Oh.
believe it?
That's crazy. Okay.
Reading the book, as I was trying to started to say last week, I think I finally realized what this draw is to the old South. White women of a certain age, I think, have this romantic look on what the old South was. I know my mom does. And it's I think it's it, excuse me, it is the only time where America, North America, had an aristocracy. You had these people of leisure that would lay around on their porches and verandas wearing these fancy clothes as the peasants, aka slaves, did all the work, and they could just sit and wear beautiful things and talk in long drawn romantic language until it all went to
Yeah,
shit.
until Jamie Foxx comes and kills them all.
Well, that's what I don't understand, because my mom has taken several tours. She's gone to Georgia several times over. I went to Georgia when I was a kid as far as a family vacation, and she's gone on several plantations. And I know that they show the slave quarters, but I haven't taken a tour myself, but I would also bet money that it's just glossed over. Oh, by the way, that's where the slaves lived. And then the way the book is written, as long as they were okay or doing, they were behaving, and they were part of the family. They were the darkies, but they were part of the family. But it's only when they were running away or they were causing some trouble, or sort of trouble, that they were referred to as slaves. And this is, in the book. So it's they're even glossing over the fact that no, the darkies were happy to be part of our family, and they took pride in the fact that they were part of the O'Hara family, and they looked down on the other families that didn't have as many darkies as we did, and they talked shit about the poor white trash that lived that didn't have any slaves. But I'll tan your hide should you speak up to me in a way that I don't think is appropriate. You're not that much of family once you start crossing a line. The characters, the slaves themselves, are written like children. They're happy to be part of someone's, so to be owned by someone, to be owned by this particular family, because they does good in the county. And you're just like, oh my God. You're writing these grown, kept servants as retarded children, or I mean,
Right. Well, this is why, Gone with the Wind isn't being remade.
oh yeah, no,
Yeah, you did hear about that one. They did that. They tried to do it with that Scarlet thing. What happened to her afterwards? And it was still, I think, the 70s or 80s.
My
So,
mom, she made me buy that for her one Christmas or Mother's Day with Timothy Dalton as Rhett. She's got the book. Yeah. But that was also the, yeah, it was the 80s because it was a made for TV movie. So, you know, things were still fairly backwards. I mean, that was 40 years ago. But yeah, now as of 2020, whatever, no, there's absolutely no way you could write slaves that are just happy to be part of the O'Hara family and everything that goes along with that. But I could see my mom at 15, 16 years old, you know, mid-70s, going, oh, what a dreamy life. If only I could sit on the veranda and have a mint julep and have a little darky fan me with a peacock feather.
Oh my God, stop. Your mother wouldn't say that. Stop it.
I bet you she would.
Oh, wow. Anyway.
Well, it wouldn't be a little, it would be a little pickaninny.
Oh God. Okay. See, now you're just going to go to hell. Well, that's it for this week. Thank God. Our time is up. So we will talk to you next time if you're still listening to us. Okay. Bye-bye. We love you.
Bye.